Tom? 31's up. I have the amendment on the effective date. What I want to do is have a sentence that says, under insurance, will come to order. The clerk will note those present. All others are excused. The first bill I'd like to take up is Senate Bill 31. We've been hanging on to this bill. This is the bill that would provide the opportunity, not the requirement, but the opportunity of an individual to obtain under insurance coverage to protect themselves from the uninsured motorist, in which where the uninsured motorist has the limitations in the policy, and they suffered damages or injuries in excess of what the uninsured motorist coverage had, in this way that they could protect themselves if they had, as an example, a $100,000 claim. As I understand from all the hearings on this bill, that as to the printed bill, there is no problem, that there's been no opposition to the printed bill. What we've basically been doing was hanging on to two amendments. The first one is an amendment that's dated 6-17-81. Now, that's the Legislative Council amendment as to when this goes into effect. But before we take that, there was this discussion about whether the under insurance provisions would be subject to the arbitration procedures of the statute, or whether, in fact, they would be the remedy would be in a lawsuit in which one would go to court and sue. And I think that in talking to most people, and I haven't had anyone else argue on the other side, they believe that it would be most efficient if it was subject to the arbitration provisions that are currently in the uninsured motorist section. So what there has to be, and I have just written down an amendment that would be a new sub 3.
Section 3?
No, it's going to be a new sub 3. Okay. After... and it would be after line 18, and it would read this way, and this would be an amendment that the chair would propose. Under insurance coverage shall be subject to the provisions of uninsured motorist coverage as set forth in ORS 743-792. I think what I would rather do with in that amendment, I think it's ambiguous when I put uninsured motor coverage, and I think it should read, under insurance coverage shall be subject to the provisions of ORS 743-792.
What's that ORS again?
743-792.
Where do you put that?
It'd be a new subparagraph 3, right after line 18. It'd be a new little paragraph 3.
Ah, okay. It'd be under Section 1.
Yeah, it'd be under Section 1.
So that our amendments saying Sections 2 and 3 would still remain...
It's the same.
Okay. I'll move that.
Senator Troll moves that a new section, subsection 3 after line 18 of the printed bill be inserted, which will read, under insurance coverage shall be subject to ORS, to the provisions of ORS 743-792. You've heard the motion. Is there any discussion? Further discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, so adopted.
Okay, I'll move the amendments dated 6-17-81.
Senator Troll moves the Legislative Council amendments dated 6-17-81. Now, the only thing is that at the line 5, it says after line 18, you're going to have to change that. You've heard the motion. Is there any further discussion? Yes.
Just a question. On the original bill, I had written line 18 on or after January 1st, 1982. Now, does this new amendment take care of that? I believe the issue was raised... one of the hearings.
Have you seen the amendment, Tom? Yeah, the Section 3 is the one that's really the operative one.
Okay.
Section 3 is the operative date of the act, and then 2 says what happens.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Didn't we talk about putting on or after and decided it should just be on and leave out the or after. We discussed that in the committee.
All right.
That this would become...
I knew there was something. I had it written down.
Create a major ambiguity.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Is there any objection to the amendment? So adopted.
Okay. Move Senate Bill 31 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Turrell moves Senate Bill 31 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
I'll move it off the table.
Senator Turrell moves Senate Bill 31 be removed from the table.
Then I move all those amendments we just adopted.
So removed from the table. Senator Turrell moves all the amendments we've adopted. Any further discussion? Hearing none, so adopted. Senator Turrell moves Senate Bill 31 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Please call the roll.
Senator Hannon?
Aye.
Senator Kishopper?
Aye.
Senator McFarland?
Aye.
Senator Turrell?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye. Senate Bill 31 is sent to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Okay, Tim. Next bill I'd like to take up is Senate Bill 304.
Is it on the table?
Is it on the table?
Move it off.
Senator Turrell moves Senate Bill 304 be removed from the table. Is there any objection? So ordered. This is a veterans bill. And this was the bill that dealt with the question. I think the measure summary is probably most descriptive. It allows a disabled veteran who is required to change his or her principal residence for compelling medical reasons or for employment purposes to receive or assume more than two farm or home loans under state's Veterans Home Loan and Farm Loan Program. Star, why don't you come up, Mr. Austin? You have an amendment with us, and what the amendment attempted to do was address the question of having the spouse's income somehow reflective of whether, in fact, that the veteran would receive the opportunity to have two or more loans. And what the amendment says, or because the veteran's spouse is transferred by an employer for employment purposes, and the spouse provides more than 50% of the household income. And that was attempting to limit it to that
point. Mr. Chairman, I've seen that amendment. I think it's a good one, and I would recommend that it be adopted.
Mr. Chairman? Yes. Mr. Chairman, I guess I want to pose a question to either yourself or the members of the committee, but as I understood our policy decision, I believe last week, we basically adopted a position of not tampering with the legislative intent, recognizing state police and other people to be transferred for employment purposes. And now it seems as though we're trying to establish another category, and I'm not doubting the validity of such a group as a disabled person, but it somehow troubles me that I believe the veterans group themselves came in and testified in opposition to state police recognizing that as a separate category, and I think that we should be somewhat consistent in our approach to this issue. Either we give the department the ability to recognize a second loan. I would rather have that as an option rather than and make it on an individual case by case rather than trying to create a separate category. I'm somewhat concerned about that.
Just simply continuing an existing exception or not?
No, this is a new exception. Right now, all veterans are limited to two loans.
Are they? Whether they're disabled or not?
Yeah.
Do you think it should be open-ended, or should they be, Mr. Chairman, open-ended or limited to, say, one additional loan? Or or a couple, but not just...
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any great quarrel with doing it whichever way the committee would choose to. We estimate we're talking about something like 20 loans per biennium with this group. The problem with other groups, and state police being a good example, is that it is really an open-ended thing in large numbers that we couldn't contend with dollar-wise. This is a small group, and although I understand Senator Hannon's concern, from the standpoint of group size, this one doesn't bother us like any of the others would.
Do you see any way that this could be abused? Somebody who is ill can get a substantial number, more than one additional one, but maybe two or three or four or five.
Well, I suppose any time you open the door, there's a potential for some kind of abuse. We try to watch that, and I don't know whether... I don't think offhand of any specific example where it might be, but I'm certain that even the program we have now with two loans can be abused.
But you don't see any particular possibility.
I don't see any particular problem.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
In reference to this particular bill, and partly in response to Senator Hannon's concern, I think part of the reason why we feel the need to extend further right to get loans is because in many cases the handicapped veteran, whether the person earning a living or whether living there, you can't take your equity in that other house and just buy an ordinary house next time around. You know, it may have to have special kinds of ramps and doors and things that involve wheelchair kinds of things. And I hear your concern for a special group, but on the other hand, I think this may be enough of an exception and have enough justification that we should make this exception.
Mr. Chairman, if I might respond, then I believe that what we should do is give the department the flexibility to make the determination rather than trying to lock something in, creating a special category, and take it on an individual case-by-case situation. My concern, mm-hmm. Senator, is the fact that there's other groups also stating that they have special needs and special concerns that they should be recognized for. And if we start separating all these different categories out, my concern is that we somehow say, yes, we recognize yours as a special situation, but on the other hand, we don't recognize the other individual. And I think it would be far better to give the department the flexibility to make a review, make a determination, and if you want to include an appeal process, that they could take it to an advisory group or something, but at least give some flexibility to determine it on a case-by-case situation. I don't know. It's up to the committee, but I think policy-wise, we adopted a position last week not to set a special category aside, and I feel to be consistent with that, it would be better to look at an individual case-by-case situation.
However, an additional
Mr. Chairman,
may be made.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go right ahead.
Mr. Austin, how would you feel about a situation as he described where administratively, rather than having it written in a law, you would administratively have the option? Or do you feel like this law gives you that option, or...
Mr. Chairman, no. I feel that to administratively open it up to any, or for my decision on anybody being reinstated more than twice, or more really being reinstated more than once, more than two loans, puts us back where we were when we had no loan limit at all, and a reinstatement program that was administered in the department, and reinstatements become a very large part of our business in that situation.
Was that a major headache to you?
I think so.
You would prefer to have the limitations put on you.
Well, I said in my testimony earlier that I would like to have all of the exceptions in the law,
mm-hmm.
And that they should be rather limited. I think if there are going to be exceptions, this is probably a good one, one of the first ones that ought to be considered, because this is a special group of people with special problems.
And they're very small
group. Very small group. I have great sympathy for the problems with state police, and my own agency has that same kind of problem in terms of transferring people between our 16 branch offices. other state agencies do, other employers do, and if we got into the business of moving just for employment alone, I think we would have a program that would be beyond our capability to fund, and the program would end up having no program at all.
Senator Truro.
Mr. Austin, on line 24, we changed the shall to may, but with the clear understanding that you would give them, unless you felt that there was an abuse, that you would do it. You know, you're not going to use the fact that you have permission to refuse, just willy-nilly to refuse all of them if they're justified. But if we changed that shall to may and made it permissive, would that should be able to let you investigate, see that there aren't abuses.
So. Yes. That why I would like that.
May what? Rather than should. Mm-hmm.
Did we do that?
No. What I would suggest is that Senator Trost suggested amendment on line 24 be one amendment, and then we adopt the other one. And then what it does is that it allows the director, meeting these statutory conditions, the discretion in those cases to allow that to that selected class.
Mm-hmm. It would allow us, if there were, we did detect what we thought was an abuse, it would allow us to make a thorough investigation and deny the loan.
Glenn, is that okay for you?
Yeah, that's
fine. Senator Troll moves that on line 24, the word shall be changed to may. Let me take that First Amendment. Is there any further discussion of that amendment? Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's so adopted. Senator Troll then moves the amendments of 42081 to Senate Bill 304-1, which are legislative council amendments. Is there any further discussion of that amendment?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
The new language, as I understand it, would read only if the veteran must acquire a different principal residence for compelling medical reasons or because the veteran is transferred by an employer for employment purposes or because the veteran's spouse is transferred by an employer for employment purposes.
And the spouse provides?
Well, I see. Then there's an income test.
Yeah. Okay. Is there any further discussion of the amendment?
I move the amendment.
Hearing none, it's adopted. Let me get George on the line here. George, it adds an income test to it and makes it permissive on the part of the director to allow in this situation. Took the word shall out and made it permissive.
Okay. I'm opposed to the amendment.
Okay. Senator Troll moves that Senate Bill 304 be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended.
Oh, you amended it?
Yes, we already amended it.
Oh, just now?
Yeah. Do you want to be recorded as no?
I want to record as voting.
Would you record Senator Wingard as no on the last amendment?
Can we explain to Senator Wingard if it's the changing the shall to may?
That's
what you're objecting to. We had a discussion of that, and in order to prevent abuse, we felt that there ought to be a chance for the department to look and perhaps to refuse some of them. But it's our clear instruction, and the intent is that they will honor these unless there is abuse. But the may is put there simply to allow them to take care of
abuse. I understand.
That's the only reason. I just wanted you to know that. So if you want to vote no, that's still fine.
Thank you. Senator Troll moves Senate Bill 304 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion?
Makes it tighter with me.
Yeah. Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Senator Hannon?
Aye.
Senator Kitzhaber?
Aye.
Senator McFarland?
Aye.
Senator Trill?
Aye.
Senator Wingard?
No.
Mr. Chair?
Aye. Senate Bill 304 sent to the floor with a new pass recommendation. And Senator Kitzhaber, would you mind carrying that bill?
I don't like the bill very much, but I'll carry it.
Isn't this the one that Mr. Barrels favored?
Yes, sir.
It is. You testified on behalf of this one.
Yes, sir.
David, do you have any problems with the shall to may?
No, sir. I think it's a good amendment.
Senator Wingard, do you want to change your mind?
That makes it even more powerful.
Senator Wingard, he did not suggest that amendment.
Senate Bill 2977. We have to go get Representative Yee. Tom, why don't you come up and explain the bill until Representative Yee comes, and then she'll come support.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Starl Austin, the Director of the Department of Veterans Affairs, and I'm here today to support House Bill 2977. A passage of this bill will provide solutions to two problem areas in our department. It will correct inequity in home loan assumptions for veterans, and it will plug a loophole which has allowed some abuses to our Veterans Farm and Home Loan Program. The bill restores the provision which allows an eligible veteran to assume an existing Department of Veterans Affairs farmer home loan at the current veteran's interest rate. Prior to 1971, an eligible veteran could do this, but the statute which created the variable interest rate eliminated that option. Since 1971, many applications have been filed wherein a veteran applicant could have assumed an existing loan on the property offered. However, the statutory limitation prevented this, requiring that the new veteran purchaser obtain a loan in his own right. When the new loan was granted, that loan paid off the existing loan already held by the Department of Veterans Affairs. The new loan required the use of bond proceeds, and the money was paid into the Veterans Sinking Fund where it was not available for home loans. Allowing a veteran to assume an existing veteran's loan will eliminate the use of bond proceeds for this purpose. It would make more money available for new loans. The passage of this bill could assist in reducing our future bonding needs. The second part of the bill changes the provision that the loan may be transferred by the original borrower to the spouse, unremarried, former spouse, child, or stepchild of that borrower without any increase in the interest rate. The amendment provides that the spouse, child, or stepchild must be the survivor of the original borrower in order to realize the same interest rate. There are abuses that will be eliminated by this amendment. A veteran may, at the present time, if entitled to restoration, transfer his or her present loan to the spouse, child, or stepchild, and obtain an entirely new loan through the use of restoration. This means the original loan could remain at the low interest rate and be used as an investment through the child or through the spouse, or could be conveyed to the child or stepchild without penalty or change in the rate of interest. The amendment would not prevent the veteran from doing this, but it would provide that should transfer occur, the interest to the spouse, child, or stepchild would be adjusted to the higher rate as provided under RS 407.073, which is fixed annually commensurate with the mortgage rates charged in the private sector. Passage of this bill would discourage abuses that are currently being experienced, but would not prevent the veteran from deeding property to his dependents as circumstances dictated. In summary, the bill, as amended, would simplify the process of transferring a veteran's loan from one eligible veteran to another. It would reduce our total bonding requirement of the department a little bit, and it would prevent the use of the veterans' low veterans' interest rate for purposes other than to provide the veteran a home.
Before I ask any questions, okay. Representative Yee is at another hearing, and she wanted to testify, and I want her to come on up, and then we're going to get to some questions. May?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, for the record, I'm May Yee, State Representative from District 36. And I'm here to support House Bill 2977. I see that General Austin has testified on this bill and presented two main purposes that this bill will accomplish. One is to allow veterans to assume existing veterans' loans without going through all the paperwork. At the present time, you can assume an eligible veteran can assume an existing veteran's loan at the market rate
And if he wants to assume at the basic rate, he has to apply for a new loan. And the new loan will take bond money to pay for the new loan. So this bill will cut down paperwork for the loan transfer, and it will also reduce the demand for new bond money. And the second part of this bill will close loophole for in case of abuses. Veterans, because they can have a restoration loan, they can transfer their property to their children or their spouses, and at the basic rate, which is not right. And by saying surviving spouse or surviving children, we can close this loophole to the surviving children.
Would you do that again? I'm trying to understand why you're using surviving. Do that again.
They cannot transfer the loan to children. It has to happen after he died. Then the loan, the mortgage can be transferred.
Okay. And surviving is just to indicate the person has died.
Yes.
And that's why you're using it.
That way we can close the loophole of their transferring their loans to living children and living dependents. And they're presently
the loans are going to go to living children, aren't they?
They do that now. They transfer to their children now because they can get
the person who's dead.
They can get a second loan because of their restoration privilege. So they can transfer a loan and then get another loan.
I see. Okay. Uh-huh. So they can transfer one now.
Yes.
While they're alive.
While they're alive.
To a live kid. Mm-hmm. Now when they're dead, it can be transferred to a live.
Only after they're dead. So this closes a loophole. Now there are 93 cases on the file under investigation. So we hope this bill will close the loophole. So this bill serves two purposes. Make it possible to transfer from an eligible veteran's loan to an existing veteran's loan without going through new application. And the second part closes loophole. And this bill has a petition of 120 signatures that was presented to the Housing Committee on the House side. And General Austin supports this bill, and it passed the House by a unanimous vote last week, or 2 weeks ago. So I hope that you can support this bill and pass it out.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Do we know why that loophole had been there to begin with? Why was it in the program that there had been the allowance that a veteran could transfer while he's alive to one of his
children? I don't know. Some of the members of my staff who are here who have been in the department much longer than I might be able to answer that question. Mr. Ball or Mr. Smith?
It looks almost like it wasn't intentional. It was something that went in with the variable rate, and it was just something that no one thought about, and all of a sudden after the session ended, somebody says, guess what we just did?
I think the Attorney General told us what we just did.
Is that right? So it's clearly not deliberately.
And I might add that we do have cases now where this is done strictly to provide an piece of investment property. A veteran will transfer the property he's currently living in to his wife. They will be reinstated by needing a smaller house or a larger house because of family or by relocating, and keep the property they had at the low rate of interest and use it as an investment.
Mr. Chairman, enough people know about this loophole, so it is used.
The word gets around.
Attorneys know that.
Are there any other questions of Representative Yee? Because I know May has to get back to another committee. Thanks, May.
Thank you, Ted. And I hope you pass it out.
Thank you.
Today.
Forthwith and post-haste.
The last
witness that sat there that waited for this committee to pass a bill out that day, I think that a week later they were still sitting in there.
We have to take this bill to both caucuses to see if they agree.
That's right. It's part of the revenue package.
It passed both caucuses. How's that?
It doesn't matter.
Thanks, May. Star, what I want you to do is to explain to me in the domestic relations situation. When a veteran is divorced, what happens under the present law today as far as a home? And then tell me if this bill changes that process and what the new process will
be. Mr. Chairman, today, in a divorce situation, the house can go to either the veteran or the spouse, depending on the agreement that's made on a property disposition.
Says it goes to the spouse.
And it can go to the spouse, either by property settlement or by court order.
Okay.
It does stay at the current interest rate that's being paid by the veteran at the time that, if it goes to the spouse, it would stay at the same interest rate that it's at for the veteran, and this will not change that in any way.
Okay. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Will this allow the guy getting a divorce to buy another house at the same rate or the new rate?
He'd be reinstated, but it would be at the, if he, for example, had the 4 or 6.2, he would go at 7.2 on the new loan.
No, this bill doesn't change that.
No.
That's the present law.
Yes.
Now, what happens then if the property goes in a property settlement agreement to the spouse and it keeps the same rate, and then the spouse 10 years down the line sells the home?
That terminates our agreement or contract with the spouse, and the spouse has no more eligibility.
If another veteran comes in and buys it, this bill would allow